A few years ago, a video went viral, and some of you may not know what that means. It became very popular. It wasn't like an illness or anything, but a video went viral online of a grown man weeping with joy over the sight of a double rainbow. What the man attempted to capture with his camera was a magical day on January 8th, 2010, when for an hour, rainbow after rainbow appeared out of his front porch in the sky above the wilderness. How many of you have seen this double rainbow guy? All right. Whoa, oh my God, he says in the video, over and over again. What does it mean? What does it mean? He keeps exclaiming in pure doxology for 5 minutes, and he begins to weep. It's so bright. It's so bright. It's so beautiful. The awe and the wonder of this 360-pound man was so authentic, so raw, that people on the comments below the clip were asking, what is this guy on? And I'll have what he's having, because no grown man in his right mind would weep at the sight of a rainbow. No grown man in his right mind could possibly be so full of gratitude and so full of joy. Paul Vasquez, the double rainbow guy, who also goes by the name Bear for his posture and look, is now 55 years old, and he's done spots for Microsoft. He's been on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. He's had strangers from Brazil and New Zealand fly to his home outside of Yosemite Park to shake his hand and thank him for his joy. Today, even in this cynical, sometimes joyless culture that rarely pauses to say thank you, let alone take the time to stop and look at a double rainbow when it occurs, has watched this video over 44 million times. 44 million views. And I imagine we'll add to some of those views after church today. And this is all because a double rainbow in the sky drew his eyes upward, drew his soul upward out of the monotony of his day. Whoa, oh my God, what does it mean? In this season, I feel in my soul some sort of search for rainbows, some sort of search for light. Driving to work this week, I felt it on Wednesday morning when after what seemed like car after car of gray, cloudy, cold Kansas days broke out into a sunrise. You know, one of those sunrises on the horizon that looks like an upside down crown reaching rays of light into the earth. I delighted in it, and I felt my soul smiling as my face did the same. I feel the search inside me for light as I fill our living room with candles and flickering lights while the days grow shorter and the nights grow longer. As I look at the calendar and think to myself, okay, when is the acceptable time to put up that Christmas tree, to cover the banister with the twinkling lights of Christmas? I feel it in my soul. Each day that we get closer to December 21st, the shortest day of the year and the longest night, my soul gets hungrier for light. Do you feel that? There is some sort of a connection between light and thanksgiving. Maybe for some of it, it's imagining those candles that are lit or turned on at our feasting tables during this week, as we are surrounded by those faces, those people in our lives that add light and that add warmth. There is a connection between light and giving thanks for saying thank you, showing the little bit of gratitude for who someone is and what they mean to you in your life can cause light to break out in a gloomy world, a world that can be so dark, so cool and cruel, so cold. Thankfulness is its own kind of light, a light that radiates first within us when we practice gratitude, when we feel gratitude, and it spreads as we share that gratitude with others. Perhaps this is also why every letter in the Bible at least begins and ends with thanksgiving. Time and time again, Paul writes in his letters, "I thank my God for you. Every time I think of you, I thank my God for you, for who you are, for what you do, for your sharing in the gospel of Jesus Christ." Paul's life, not just Paul Vasquez, the double rainbow guy, but Paul the apostle, his life was one of thanksgiving. And like Paul the double rainbow guy, it was a life of thanksgiving that began with an interruption, a holy, blinding light that forever changed his journey on the Damascus Road. When you encounter Christ, when you come to know Jesus, you cannot help but break out into doxology. In our bulletins, we sing and will sing the doxology. We do every single week. And it's not just something that someone way back in the day put into the liturgy. It's the song that's put into our hearts every time we as a people encounter God. It's the song that Mary breaks out in when an angel visits her and tells her that she will bear a son, the Son of God, Jesus, into the world. It's the song of Zechariah. It's the song of prophets when they encounter the holiness of God and all that was ordinary suddenly becomes extraordinary. Oh, thank you, my God. Oh, thank you. Doxology is the glory be to the Father. It is the Gloria Patri. It is the Lord's Prayer. It is every single thing that we do in our worship. It is doxology. It is thanksgiving. We sing and we speak doxology so that we can become more and more doxology people. People of thanksgiving in a world that sows sparingly and reaps sparingly love, patience, joy, kindness, gentleness, peace, generosity. We are thanksgiving people. In this letter in 2 Corinthians, Paul is telling the church about generosity. And if you were looking in your pew Bibles and wondered why the scripture that Carol was reading sounded a bit differently, it's because I had to read the Message version, which I think is particularly snarky and helpful in a good way this morning. A reminder, though, that when we sow sparingly, we get that back. But when we sow with that audacious hopefulness and generosity of a child handing Jesus his lunchbox. You remember this sermon on our first Sunday together? When the multitudes have gathered and Jesus says, "All right, well, let's feed them." And the disciples said, "What? How will we feed them? We don't have enough food to feed all of these people. And somehow the generosity of two fish and the loaves of bread becomes enough to feed the 5,000. It doesn't matter the amount. It matters the heart output. It matters the hope and the faith and the trust that whatever little we have given out and planted into the world will return and will be a way for the bounteous God to become present in this world. Phil and I have been going to a parenting class for the last couple of weeks at our daughter's school. And it's a class that teaches us how to discipline them with conscious awareness and kindness and assertiveness. And one of the things that the teacher closed us out with this week at Rainbow School was the idea that if whatever it is that we think we don't have enough of, especially patience when you're the parent of a young child, that by putting it out there and offering it, we find that we have more than we need. In this world, it does not seem that we have enough love, enough peace, enough of those fruits of the Spirit. But we who are doxology, we who are connected to the source of bounty, have it within us. If only we could look more at that donut and not just at that gaping hole, then we could have our attitudes changed and find that the world around us changes as we see the abundance that is, in fact, at our fingertips. And as we say, ah, yes, do you see it? God is present in this place. On this journey, we have been on sabbatical together. And Mark has been out on his sabbatical journey. And I am eager for the journeys to weave back together in the next couple of weeks as you share stories and share the abundant harvest that each of you have reaped in this season. One of the things that is important to keep in mind about Sabbath and sabbaticals is, again, that it is so counter to a culture of scarcity. Because people who see the hole and not the donut don't think that there is enough time for them to rest, enough resources for them to stop, enough time to be still and be with God and not do. But we, doxology people, made in the image of God, know that there is a season to rest, and that when we do step back and we do rest, fruit will grow, will erupt in our lives in ways that we can never anticipate or force on our own. As you go out of the sabbatical journey and forward into your ministry, may you also continue to keep the Sabbath holy. If not for 4 months at a time, then each day in moments of gratitude. And if you can, each week in these times of turning to the source of all of our bounty in worship and praise. To live out doxology is to draw others into the chorus of thanksgiving. We were made for thanksgiving. We were made for giving thanks, but the world tries to turn our eyes from the bounty. I want to share with you some words that have connected with me in this season from the poet Mary Oliver. And these words hopefully will strike and stir within you ways to practice doxology. Every day, Mary Oliver says, I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight, that leaves me like a needle in the haystack of light. It is what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclamation. Maybe you think, well, the poet's life must be more exciting than mine, or maybe it is that the poet has an easier life, one that is free from the news, free from cancer, free from addiction, free from accidents, free from bankruptcy. But I do believe that we who are God's bounty and the doxology of God can look at the world, can look at our lives and see bounty, and turn away from the narrow vision of scarcity to tune in with the Holy Spirit to abundance in our midst, in the ordinary and extraordinary days of our lives. Perhaps we don't have a video camera or a cabin with a view of the wilderness that is Yosemite National Park. And maybe we're not going to see double rainbows every day. But you all are doxology people, people of Eucharist and Thanksgiving, who have seen the light, who have stories of having your life delightfully distracted and disrupted by the saving grace and presence of Jesus Christ. You have a story to share. You have thanksgiving to offer. You are a channel for people who are lost to come back to the bounty, the source that is God. Will you turn your lens then to the light? Will you amplify the light, even when it's so much easier to amplify the bad news? Leave that work for the news reporters. Leave that work for people on Twitter. Leave that work to them. And instead, go forth and amplify the power of gratitude and light. I want to close with one quote, one of my favorites from Meister Eckhart, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough.